CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. It is Friday morning. We've got Ben, and we're going to be joined in a moment by Gord Laws, who we haven't seen for a little while on the show. He's got some exciting things happening in his life. We also got to get to two quick stories in the course of the next few minutes. Got to hear what everybody thinks about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, because that's the big trial at the moment. And there's so much we can learn from that about the way humans treat each other, the way celebrities in Hollywood behave when the cameras are off, and how they are really not better than us. In fact, they may be worse than us in many ways. And look at that. There's Meowsers.
Definitely worse.
Is that Meowsers?
Yeah, Meowsers is, she's insistent to be on the call. That's every time amazing. I'm on a call, she needs to be here.
That's so cool that she just sits there and commands the space. Now she's climbing in. Look at that. She wants all the attention.
Well, she knows that now she's been spoken about, so now she's over it.
Okay. Yeah, typical. Cats have got such fucking attitudes. All right, let's talk to Gordo. Let's see what he's up to. Hello, Gord Laws.
Champions, hello.
Ah, Gord.
Hi, Gordon.
Gordon. Ken Bobinski. Are you GC?
How's it going?
Are you Gowsers?
Good, good, good. So, Gordo, what's happening with you? Are you leaving the country soon? Are you already in Europe? What's the story?
I've been in London for a week today.
Oh, wow.
I just find it amazing that Ben just scientifically proved a theory I've had about cats for ages. The only way to get rid of one is to want it there. And the only way to get one to come there, to appear, is to have a situation where it really isn't wanted. So now that Meowsers knows we're enjoying, it's just, I love it. Cats are the best. If the word fuck you evolved into a living creature, it would be
exactly
cats.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And they're very consistent. Huh? It's so true. Sorry, Gord, do you live in London now?
No, well, I mean, I've rented a place, if you can call it that. I've rented a bedroom with a toilet in it. I got to tell you though, it's really, really cool.
I'm really glad that you sprung for a toilet with your bedroom.
Oh yeah, I had to upgrade to the toilet option because it's cold outside at night, and you can, there is
such a weird flex.
I just respect the foxes out here because people give them shit for like living outside and eating the garbage, and they just try to get by. I mean, if a fox could finance a place, it probably would be George Clooney.
Yeah.
His whole mission was to buy that fancy tree.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you got to steal from Bogus and Bunsen Bean to do it.
Absolutely. So, Gordo, you're in London. You're working there. What's the plan? Because I haven't caught up with you in a while. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been too long, dude. I kind of had this plan to stick it out in Cape Town and experience Cape Town as like a non-hippopotamus, which is a whole different experience. And sort of also moved to the UK, and I found myself thinking it's about to be the middle of winter. I had it kind of lined up about 4 months late. So instead of rushing out to get out in time for it to be very cold, I went and committed to 6 months in Seapoint, and I just had the most amazing time. So now my lease is up, and I look, Gareth, as a mate, if you ever see pictures on Instagram, you're like, oh my God, moving day and I'm carrying boxes.
Yeah.
Just unawkwardly offer me some work. It means I am utterly broke because before I buy a pair of sneakers or a sandwich or anything with my spare income, I'm having people move me or just leaving my stuff. So you got to pay to move with my lease being up from Seapoint to Seapoint. And I figured, well, it's about to be very cold. I work remotely for an awesome company. And, I thought, let me just ruin myself financially and go spend winter in Europe and then come back, give Seapoint another summer, and then see where I want to go.
So, in other words, you're avoiding winter. You're not actually following it.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Terrific.
I don't know, Gordon. It sounds like you're on the run. Have you got someone pregnant?
Not that I'm aware of, but, a lot of women don't get back to me after, so who knows?
All right.
Hey, Ben, it's good to see you, dude. I just want to say, like, you've been quite an inspiration there, going from handsome to very fucking handsome in the last year or two.
All right, listen, guys, everybody wants to know, what do you think of, have you been watching, have you been paying any attention at all to the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situation that's come up? I mentioned on the show exactly a week ago that I actually wasn't paying attention, and then I realized I'm missing out on some serious entertainment here. I mean, they're talking about human turds in beds. This is a really disheveled...
What's more entertaining than turds in beds, Gareth? I mean, that's why the internet's so successful.
Johnny
People
Depp,
think it was Facebook, but actually pornography, turds in beds.
Listen, these two are such bad examples of humanity. It's really, really entertaining to watch.
I mean, it isn't. It isn't, right? Like, my thing is that I can't avoid it because of the intrusive screw the customer Illuminati first algorithms of social media, where
right.
you follow 4,000 friends and you see the same three of their posts for 2 days, and then shit you have no interest in. literally, not just shit you have no interest in, the bands you like the least. So, like, for real, the bands I least like, I get served videos of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, like, I do not like this topic. And it's like, we won't show you any more gardening stuff. I'm like, guys. So, you know, I can't avoid the news. And, but I see, of the news I can't avoid, bits and pieces of this, I must say, are quite amusing. Johnny Depp is more, he's more of a Johnny Depp character in real life than he plays in movies.
Well, even in court, his testimony, he puts on this very deep voice, and then you could see he's playing a role, right? These people probably don't really have a personality when you've been acting for so long. I think you just absorb so many character aspects of various people that you've played in the movies that you actually lose your real personality. I mean, especially when you're...
Or is he actually like Captain Jack Sparrow real?
Maybe.
And then he's like, hey, dude, you're basically Captain Jack Sparrow, but like not a pirate.
But
you were a pirate.
Here's the point, though. I've never seen displayed so openly for everybody to watch two people hate each other as much as these two clearly have begun to hate each other. It's so disappointing. It makes me feel like, oh, well, okay, I definitely made the right decision not getting married.
I'm trying to be above this and say it's like total horseshit and who cares. But when I saw the clip about the mega pint, mm-hmm. I was like, I have to find out more. Yeah. Because, like, it's at least better than a artificial size sci-fi soap opera.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Have you watched any of this? Oh, no, I wouldn't dare watch this kind of shit because it's all fake, right? These people aren't real. We've established this a while ago. It's the same thing when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. It's not real. These people cannot be trusted with anything normal and real.
Well, in terms of Chris Rock and Will Smith, I just read, unable to avoid a meme on Instagram about how the LA district attorney has called, like, no evidence of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think it was Joe Rogan or someone like this. Like, well, what do you have to do? Like, you know, unprovoked, strike someone in the face on the most broadcasted non-sport thing there is.
Yeah.
And no evidence of a crime. Now, if any of us, especially if we were of color, let's face it, murdered someone on TV for nothing and that person was famous,
mm-hmm.
it would be like, how much jail?
Right.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
They need to find 10 people who punched someone else for no real good reason, or even for a good reason that didn't have to be violence, even if they insulted their mum, on television or CCTV, and check what the outcome of all of those cases were and just apply the average. So the average was this much fine and that much suspended sentence or this much jail,
yeah.
and give Will Smith the average of 100 cases the same.
Right.
And it won't be a fine.
Won't work. It's not going to happen.
But Gord, he didn't hit him. It was, he hit him with the fingers. Chris extended his face. He was laughing afterwards. It was part of the gag. You do realize that the Oscars is the lowest rated piece of shit TV that anybody like doesn't care about watching. Everyone's in on the joke. It's all bullshit. These people have their own secret society. It starts with the pedophilia ring, which is run by Hollywood. And now it's like, it's offshooting into acts of like, stage violence. This is why I'm happy that Amber Heard Johnny Depp thing is actually coming to light. I'm not going to watch it, but it just proves my point that these people aren't real and they cannot be trusted. I will subscribe to Netflix. I will go watch movies. They'll get my money that way, but they're not getting my attention and anything revolving around being a human.
That's also like a really fair point. Like,
okay.
For example, the person's job is to, I'm trying to think of a good example. They're a UPS delivery person.
Yep.
And they deliver you your UPS and they're polite about it while they do it. And then they bugger off and they do a good job at that. It's like, I'm fine with you as a human, mate. If you've got stuff going on in your personal life, I don't care. As long as you're not doing something completely unbelievably criminal, who cares what's going on at home? I see it the same way. It's like you act in a movie. It's mm-hmm. entertaining to me or it's not. And as long as you're not like turning out to be the dude from Lost Prophets or Jeffrey Epstein, you know, I don't care. Like, turns exactly. out beloved entertainer Dave McDave is a bit of a deuce. Whole world give a shit and fight about it. Like, some oak slapped his... Hollywood actors.
Why are we getting...
Some oak slapped a colleague.
Why are we getting day-to-day updates on Amber Heard, but we still don't know who was on Jeffrey Epstein's list? That's what I want to know.
It's because it's easy, Gareth. It's easy. You can just put a camera in a courtroom. People who like to be on camera will do camera things, and people who watch things all day digest it.
Well,
it's easy. It's like, it's the easiest thing in the world to get Will Smith to have some stupid mock slap of Chris Rock. It's hard to take on Pfizer and find out why they're dumping information.
Right.
It's hard to go into China and say, hey, guys, who actually made this thing?
Well, I mean, again, here I am talking about how painful news is, but I'm going to talk about news nonetheless.
You love news, Gord.
Yes, you do, Gord.
All my friends, you should have been
a TV. Like, you should have been a TV news reader. You would have loved that.
You should have been Amon Holmes.
You see, I was extremely, extremely handsome for most of my life, and now that I've let myself slide, my TV opportunities missed. But you know, I say how much it drives me nuts that we not only choose to care, but are kind of position to care.
Yeah.
And if it, whatever you use to highlight the example, whether it's Will Smith and Chris Rock, or whether it's the Ukraine war, or whether it's Pfizer, people who actually have no knowledge, like, let's face it, I'm not an expert on any of this. I don't know what's happening at Pfizer. And I have like read books voluntarily after being forced to in high school. And like, so let's use the Ukraine. Terrible, awful, and horrific. But identical to what was happening there 4 years ago when Russia not only did the same thing, but actually took Crimea. I'm asking, like, why not only are we allowed to know and care now, but are encouraged to? So in terms of the whole like shady Illuminati thing, I'm like, maybe there's an agenda when not something similar, episode 2 of the same show airs and they want you to watch it. Whereas previously it was like, a bit of trouble there in the east of Europe, Russians, a bit of Russian aggression, tensions are high around that area. Tensions are high. They took an entire province. Now they're doing the exact same thing. And it's like, you all need to know and we all need to care. And you have to fight with each other about what we're telling you might be your opinion. And I'm just like, why do people not see? I'm not saying how you must feel about it either way. I'm horrified by it. But I was horrified by it when no one was supposed to talk about it 3 or 4 years ago, too. And that's the kind of thing. It's like, what's the difference between this particular news outrage and the 70 the same that we're not only not encouraged to talk about, but that no one even knows about?
This is where people start saying, oh, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. But I think the conspiracy theorists, if you consider the last 2.5 years that we've been through, the conspiracy theorists were more right than the people who are supposedly giving us the news. Just saying.
The thing about this, conspiracy theorists as well, is that they screw their own credibility because they don't actually know anything. You've got this whole thing of like, and when I say you, I'm not being like judgmental of everyone. I myself have done this. Like all of these things, if you want to talk about the weight loss stuff or any of that, I'll be like, people do this and they think this way. And I'm realizing I myself have always done that.
Right.
It's very hard for me to try to like talk about that without making a person feel kind of accused for being in the same situation I've been in. So it's like, I can't find this stuff fascinating and then criticize other people. But a conspiracy theorist might be right. With no information, we have a human need to be right. It's a well-known psychological principle. I believe it's called attribution theory, where it's much more important when the shed is on fire, right here next to where the three of us are sitting, that we fight about whose fault it is. And if we can't work that out, which one of us is the least to blame while the shed just burns down and we all have buckets of water, right?
Yes.
So you might be right that lizard people, but it's something your drunk uncle said or something you read in a meme that was like badly photoshopped enough that you believed it. And now without any of the information, you're like, look, I don't know what's actually going on with science. It's just bullshit. I don't know what's happening with I don't know anything about these governments, but they're definitely up to something. So whether we're being hoodwinked or not, until you actually have some understanding as to the system that's cheating you, you're a passive recipient. You're like, I have no agency and I'm going to yelp complain about the people who do.
Yeah, you got to decide what to spend your time on and what your attention is going to go towards. This is again where I defer to Ben. Like you've just cut a lot of this crap out of your life. You just don't care anymore about celebrities or about news stories that are far away. Or
it's kind of pointless. It all goes back to information diets. People talk about this quite a lot. You know, we spoke about Gord before you got on how poor architecture reflects society and like how oppressive governments are at a certain time. Exactly what you take in through media and all this kind of crap reflects on you as a person become. You just think, if you are sitting, I mean, you guys will watch the Amber Heard Johnny Depp thing for entertainment, because I also love a good shit in the bed story. But there are people out there who are literally taking sides in this. It's like, oh, I can't believe this happened. They were a married couple. Yeah. And they're investing on a human level.
Yeah.
Shit, that is a fucking dangerous thing to do.
That's a really, really good point / insight, because like, we feel like we lack, and I myself have lacked agency to do anything about any of this. We feel like we can't change our jobs. We can't change our lives. We are stuck in the system that at once traps us and also should provide for us like an altruistic parent. So we'll fight with each other about something like this and feel like we're engaged. If we argue about whether the Ukraine, Russia, the rest of the world should get involved, we feel like we're actually having a say. No one's even listening. It's like, I have as much, I'm very fond of Manchester United, as much as it's breaking my heart how shit we are and have been for years. But that's a passion of mine. But I don't believe I'm part of the organization. Yeah. I'm the world's nerdiest Metallica fan with tattoos and everything. But I don't go like, I am as an entity a Metallica fan. So I don't have agency to cause the band to do anything, no matter how much I love them. If I die and the record of me gets expunged from history, United will not be any different. They might just have like a few hundred less pounds over the last few decades from shit I've bought. But if I fight with the two of you about what we think about what they're doing, we all feel like we did our best to steer the ship and it should go right now because we got stuck fighting a pal.
You're pointing out a very important thing. It's like people find, when they haven't got a lot of purpose and meaning in their life, they find ways to create fake purpose and meaning, whether it's being a huge fan of something or whether it's being outraged by something.
Your outfit, your
identity.
Your tattoos.
You know, I mean, for example, I got into a discussion with someone in Cape Town yesterday when I was there for a whole 24 hours. About how important it is for that person to be Capetonian. Like, it's an important part of their life. They think about it all the time. They have time in their day to think about being Capetonian, which is, to me, ludicrous. I don't care where I'm from. If you think it's important that I'm from Johannesburg or Pretoria or Gauteng, good for you. I don't think about that as being important. But it seems to me that the more real interesting and important stuff you have to do in your day, the less you worry about these labels, the less you worry about being a fan of this or opposed to that or an activist for this. It's only when you have nothing going on that you have to substitute that with these crappy second-rate reasons to be alive.
Yeah, dude, I just want to say that like we have this massive amount of Dunning-Kruger. Like I'm working on trying to compile the notes, and I did this in 2012, and for a year I compiled notes on the most rah-rah Tony Robbins, you can do it, Sparta, die trying, how to lose weight unsustainably and painfully for as long as you can before it fails book. And when I went to sit and write it, this email that I'd been mailing to myself for a year and a half was gone. I don't know how, no trace of it, and I was heartbroken. But that would have been a good book to get you to like angrily start losing weight for as long as you can. Now I'm trying to compile the same notes of another one, and the insights are sort of psychological around. It's not just like about food. There's so much to it. And everything I want to say, people don't do this, you don't realize that, is all stuff I've done. So we also, myself included, are Dunning-Kruger 1,000%. Like you can say, people, you identify with stuff that's not you, and everyone will listen and nod and go, yeah, absolutely people do that. All of us, myself as well. So, you know, it's easy to criticize something we all do to an extent. But for me, like realizing how much agency you do have in your own life that you either don't see or don't believe in, how many choices you've got, how much of this bullshit is up to you.
Yeah,
how the things that you complain about you
is.
Can change.
All of it is.
But
we think
we replace that with believing we have agency.
You've just done exactly that. You upped and decided you're going to go to London for 6 months. I mean, what a win. Dude, I think that's brave. That's interesting. That makes for a fucking change in your life, which you maybe needed. Maybe it's something that you just wanted to do as a little side adventure. I wonder how many
people... It's only 3 weeks in London, by the way. I'm all over the place for a few months.
Even better. You don't have anything holding you down. And I think that's brave, dude.
I'll have debt holding me up.
Yeah, well,
Gareth, that's That's exactly why he's gone, because he wanted to, don't want to be held down by the pregnancy that he's running away from.
Or yeah, just in case they are ready that they can't.
He said 4 months. This woman's probably like 3 months away. He's like, okay, look, I'm gonna at least go away.
I just appreciate the fact that the two of you are building this little joke that I'm enjoying on the assumption that I get laid. I mean, it's flattering of you, Ben, to assume I actually can have sex.
Yeah. Gorge, you've been throwing dick as long as I've known you. Things changed?
Throwing it is such a vulgar expression, Ben. I politely present it and allow the shared usage of it in a lovely, lovely
shared usage. Exchange. Shared usage sounds like timeshare of timeshare of your private
my genitals from time to time.
This is like timeshare in Margate.
Oh God! All right, listen. You guys have been called to order. One of the comments here. Why did Gord? Hang on, let me just find it because I don't want to misquote someone. This is hilarious. Somebody says Gord has to explain himself for why he stopped talking to High Rob, and then there was a whole story about now we've got two.
We
got two of the three people on here. High Rob was on the other day, heartbroken that the both of you are no longer his friend.
This is such horseshit.
What happened?
Ben made a group with the three of us and then closed the group. I also was with the same exact thing that happened to High Rob happened to me at the same time. I was like, oh, look, me and High Rob are not on a group with Ben anymore. And then I hear later that, like, he thinks I hate him. The last conversation I had with him was super great. And then the group we had to chat went away because of Ben.
Yeah, it is. It's completely me. I kind of forgot about this. Someone mentioned this a couple of months ago. Yeah, I just find High Rob disappointing as a guy with the whole world in front of him. And he just, you know, I would say this to him. And I know it sounds clinical and it sounds mean, but yeah, I mean, you can't win them all in life, I guess. I've always liked High Rob. He's a good guy. Like, I mean, we all know this because on the show, when he comes across and he talks, like, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I just
Ben, if you admit
I don't have a huge amount of bandwidth for everyone in this world, and unfortunately High Rob and what he wants to do with his life is something I can't really relate to, so therefore I can't sincerely provide and be a part of
100%. But like, when we met High Rob, he was what he is. And when you stopped wanting to talk to him, he was still what he is. When you put us in this group, which I enjoyed being in, about like three dudes trying to help each other fix our lives, it wasn't help that he asked for. Well, I suppose a little bit to an extent. It's just we were unable to change him. He didn't become a Durst from being a. So I just think, like, I love High Rob for what he is. And if I criticize him for everything I think he should be doing that I would be doing if I had had agency and I was also handsome. It's that whole thing of like that good looking, handsome person with trust fund money that women love is not doing it how I would if I was that. So if he'd gone from like the most respectable, upstanding gentleman to a completely loose unit while we were on the group, I'd understand the frustration. But like, if you'd met me at my most obese and then a year later didn't want to be friends with me because you can't associate with someone so obese, it would be a bit like, he didn't change, we did.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, huge self-realization here. This is interesting.
Yeah.
And I never, ever had any problem with him. We both, the group went away, and he also hasn't texted me.
He's probably listening right now. So, I mean, you're talking about him as if he's not in here.
Oh, Rob, how's it my fault that you also didn't text me after Ben closed our group?
I don't actually have a problem. So, this, I mean, I haven't given this that much thought, not because I don't care, just that I've tried to think about other things. I don't have a problem with Rob at all. I just don't have a desire for extended interaction around that.
I'm going to call.
You,
I'm going to call this
the
to order.
Reason
listen,
you wanted to be friends with him in the first place is what he's doing now.
I didn't know that I was opening a can of worms here. Jesus. So Congo.
I know.
Congo Chris says, "Yara, save it for Hanan. You three need couples therapy." Yeah, well I'm sure we'll get
actually,
to that eventually.
We're here to talk it out directly amongst each other. What we could do is ask the whole internet who they think is right and let you guys fight and tell us what we think.
Well, it's obviously I'm wrong. I know this, but it's a personal choice I made because of the time in my day that I can focus on stuff. So
that's
like I said,
no wrong. You guys are just
I just
a different
love the
place.
Way I just love the way I've introduced you three to each other through the show. You all became friends in the real world, and then We're discussing now how it all fell apart on the show. You realize I've just made you entertainment for everybody else. I don't really give two shits about whether the three of you are friends.
Yeah, dude. And I you know, when Ben and I had met a couple of times, through my mate Dale Immerman and through media and stuff, we knew each other on a high five and first name basis, and we got to be friends through the show. But it started with us being pitted against each other as enemies.
Yes.
And I remember after the second or third show, when this like argy bargy tension was getting a bit like palpable afterwards, I was like, dude, like, did I really bother you with what I said there? And Ben was like, dude, that was the shit. Like, it was such a great show. It's the most fun show I've had in months. And so, like,
sorry, Gordon. You should probably have a disclaimer that if I give you shit, it means I like you. It's this cuntiness that I have about me.
So you actually love Rob. Absolutely. You actually have realized that you've got inner feelings that you're fighting hard to process towards Rob.
No, I'm not processing anything. It's that, like, we set this, we'll leave it at this. We set that group up because we wanted to chat about stuff. If you want to have a new group called Three Friends Who Live in Different Geographical Locations, working title, I'm also in for that.
I just want to quickly mention to add B, is Gordon crack? He keeps wiping his nose. Firstly, no, I haven't done any kind of like drugs whatsoever in ages. I'd tell you if I was on crack, I would phone Gareth and be like, Gareth, look, I'm doing crack lately. Can we do a show? I've got a little bit of a sniffly cold in my, and it's like, I'm concerned, you know, when you have like a 2 out of 10 sniffle and you're concerned, like there is now a better than 3%, but less than 10% statistically chance based on every sniffle you've had in your life that this is hypothetically possibly COVID. And now you want to like not go out. So it's cold. And yeah, it's not our crack works.
I'm
dude.
So glad.
Add B,
I'm so glad you
don't sniff crack as far as I know.
I'm very glad you decided to defend yourself. All right, guys, there's a story in the news. I think this is hilarious. So apparently an intruder got into Windsor Castle and spent the night there by disguising himself as
another
priest. Apparently, it seems to me like...
So priests can just go in, right?
It seems to me like Windsor Castle is just like the easiest place in the whole world to break into. I mean, there was, you know, at Prince William's 21st birthday, some guy who was dressed like a 9/11 terrorist, I think, got into the party because it was a fancy dress party. And he just...
What is a 9...
A 9/11 terrorist from 9/11?
What is that? Yes, but... Okay, never mind. I just wanted to know what those look like, but I don't actually. Let's continue, please.
Well, like the guys who flew the plane into like a yashmak or whatever you call it. Anyway, he dressed like that. So he got into the party, and then they eventually found out, I think halfway through the party, that he wasn't meant to be there. You know, there was this guy who I think famously in the 1970s broke into the Buckingham Palace, so not Windsor Castle, but similar story, ended up in the Queen's bedroom. And now this dude this week has spent the night in Windsor Castle by disguising himself as a priest. How do you like them apples? This is the kind of stuff that it seems like.
But why is a priest just allowed to go in? I mean, I'm asking like truly, truly curiously, like, is there certain religious denominations where the certain seniority of like what Anglican priests have access to the palace, or do they just not bother if you're a priest to check your credentials?
That's such a good question.
Like, why is being a priest able to get you in?
Because
people don't question priests. I mean, if you look at how they've gone through civilization,
they're able to break into all kinds of stuff without consequence.
All kinds of things.
But hang on.
To force their way into all sorts of places.
I mean, you guys must use Occam's razor for the most simple explanation. Gord's question is a valid one, but the simple explanation is that St. George's Chapel is inside of the precinct of Windsor Castle, and there are priests who live on the property. So it wouldn't be unusual. So if the guy's walking around in a priest's outfit, they're not going to bat an eyelid because they're going to be, he must be one of the priests down there in the chapel.
So it's like dressing like a beef eater or dressing like many generations inbred, and then you look like you're part of the jaw.
Exactly.
So if I just had my teeth surgically completely randomized, I could actually just go in the palace. Oh, no, I've got tattoos and stuff, so I probably...
No, they'd spot you, Gord. They'd spot you from a mile away. I mean, that could be better accommodation than what you've got in London at the moment. You might want to try.
Bro, I'm in Europe for 4 months, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll do three weeks in London paying for the accommodation,
right.
2 weeks with a pal in Dublin, no accommodation costs, 5 weeks in Lisbon paying, and 6 weeks in Stuttgart not paying. So basically, for 2 months or 4 months, I'm paying for it. Over that four-month period, my accommodation costs are almost triple what they would be in Cape Town. I pay the same here in this one-bedroom tiny place per week as I pay for a two-bedroom place in Cape Town per month. And everything else about the expenses are higher. Wow. But it's like 110 to 100. Like, food costs, if you're cooking it yourself, like 125%. And if you, like me, much prefer to cook your own food and like really take what you eat quite seriously and don't especially want to be buying junk food and takeaways, if you've got a mate to stay with that can tolerate you, it's actually easy to travel. It's the accommodation that is the massive factor.
Just to go back, I mean, I totally understand, and you're gonna have so much debt at the end of this, because traveling around Europe used to be something that people could do on like $100 a week or whatever. There was this thing that in our parents' time you could do. There's no way you could do that now. Now it's going to cost you thousands of rands every week if you want to.
But Gareth, in your parents' time, it was like one pound to one rand.
A pound to a rand. Chef on old Dan, rand cent man. Give it a cent when
you can't bring that conversation up.
A threepence for a tiki, a two for a nine, and 7.5 halves equals just fine. Trade your sixes for sevens with the rand. Fuck that song explaining how you trade your money. I'm like,
oh, that's great. Decimal Dan,
the rand cent man.
Yeah. That's still one of my favorite things. I actually played it for someone the other day, and they were like, "What? This was a real thing?" Yes, it was an actual
broadcasting.
They actually broadcast.
Oh, dude, before I forget, I'm sorry if I could just interrupt quickly. Like, yeah. Before I forget, because I will realize after the show's finished, and I've brought it up. Like, to the listeners, to you, Gareth, and to the listeners of the show, for your support around Turtle Bird Books and the Penguin Book.
Oh yeah,
It was overwhelming. Everybody messages me and like, oh, we miss you on the show. Occasional person is like, I hate you. Why did you leave? You know, you're such an asshole. How could you leave? But I get this like messages of support. So I post on Instagram, like, I'm going to be on the show, DMing me like, awesome. Thank God. So this support is, I've always felt it. But when we dropped the book, within 2 or 3 days of being on the show, we had our highest sales spike we've ever had. We sold a few hundred copies, and probably 150 copies in SA, which was a third of our print run, and about as many overseas.
Wow.
So the people who've always supported me and been kind about me, and the guys who love to think I'm a dickhead, like, actually put it into practice. I'd already thanked you and the GCS listenership in the book, but like, I just, every single one of you collectively and individually, like, it means the world to me, and thank you so much. So
sure
now
thing,
we can
dude.
Go back to like taking the piss. But yeah, thank you for buying my book.
That was an incredibly strategic plug for a business, eh? Fucking hell, you have mastered that.
I'm out on
bended knee.
Gareth has invited me to be on the show and talk about it. Gareth has invited me to be on the show and talk about it. I don't need to be manipulative. I'm thanking the audience for putting their literally money
Now he's extending. You notice he's extending the plug.
It's now a 3-minute plug. It's good. You're an absolute masterclass, right?
Yeah. And purchase my book.
There
this free advert that I've weaseled my way onto the show for. You're also fucking right, Gareth. Those of you who haven't bought one yet, for God's sake, buy a book.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Good.
You've weaseled 5 minutes of plugging in here. It's brilliant. Well done. So, Gord, people want to know, are you going to sneak into Windsor or Buckingham Palace? That's from Suicide. This is very important.
My teeth are too good for being a royal.
No.
I don't look very priestish, do I?
What
else can I disguise myself as?
So someone says, I dress up as the queen. If you're going to do this, go for gold. So you could maybe pull off being the queen, Gord. I mean,
dress like Freddie Mercury.
Can you?
Oh, I could be the best queen ever, dude. Like, I'm one of those people that like genuinely thinks, like, if you could choose your, I mean, these days it's like, you know, we talked about identifying with external things.
Yeah.
Like, now you can choose your gender just based as like how you want, what people, what, almost as a fashion-y thing. I'm not at all suggesting everyone's doing that, but I was going to say you can't choose your sexual orientation, but now it's like you can choose your T-shirt.
You can choose anything.
If I would seriously probably go for being gay if I could just decide, because it like seems fabulous. It makes more sense.
Fabulous.
Like, you know, so I'd make a fantastic queen. I'm like, part of me when I go out with my gay mates, I'm always like, you know, like, I feel like included because they're having me there, and they're so nice.
Look at Ben's face. Ben is watching this with like a tiny, tiny amount of interest. He was so interested in the previous stuff. Now he's like, oh, Jesus, we're talking about whether Gord would like be gay if he could. It's ridiculous.
No, but I mean, like, guys, let's be honest. I think Gord's touching on what most guys will think at some stage of their life. I mean, hanging out with guys is cool. It makes sense. Bills get split properly. There's good conversation.
Bills get split properly. Is this an important part of it?
No, but I mean, it makes for a harmonious life, but bum sex is brutal from what I understand. I mean, you would have
as if only people are into it, Ben. You can test out how bum sex is with the consenting women if you just look around.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's not your default. I know, and some gays don't see bum sex, Gord. But the whole thing is, it's a brutal way to end the day, huh? And I tell you what, and that's what probably deters a lot of people.
Let's just talk off air, Ben. I'll answer some questions for you.
You know what I've noticed though is like I've got gay friends who are, they seem to be generally two things, and I know these are huge stereotypes. And I'm probably going to get into trouble for them, but number one, they seem to be, I mean, the word gay, happy, right? They seem to be a lot happier, more or less on a daily basis than all the straight people. But they also seem to be extremely mean to each other when things aren't going well. So it's like a best of, but also worst of both worlds. So I look at it with I wouldn't say the jealousy that it sounds like Gord might have for this lifestyle, but I certainly don't think that it's all
envy, Gareth.
I don't think it's all rainbows.
Defensive about
it's not all rainbows and unicorns.
Me.
No. Okay, well let's say envy.
Sorry, I just had to be a durst there for a moment.
But Jesus, when gay guys break up, it's like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. It's worse even. And then
there's an insight there that's something that I actually wrote a blog about years ago with my buddy Dale. We had a blog called Mojo Dojo before blogs were a thing. And it was like, I wrote a thing called Dating a Human. And the insight about it was that, like, whatever you're into, if you're a dude who dates dudes, if you're a girl who dates girls, if you're a they who dates other theys, you will say, hey, they are crazy. So like all men are dogs and pigs, or all women are nuts, or all gays are crazy because I'm gay. Mm-hmm. It's like you'll date a certain type of human and ascribe craziness to that type of human. When in actual fact, if you were to totally date one of everybody, you'd realize that humans are always full of shit in more or less the same ways. And you project it. So I only like burgers and I hate pizzas. So all burgers are fucking crazy. Like, dude, date a pizza. They're as crazy.
No, you're probably right. So somebody says here, you know, this conversation is funny when the comments go quiet. Everyone's too busy laughing. I hope so. And then Carl says, Gord, important, bum sex with a woman is one directional. In a gay relationship, you must give and receive. You'll need to stretch your naught. This is very important.
I'll just say, Carl, that the D doesn't have to be flesh and blood or living. You can receive bum sex, mate, from a woman. They've got, I mean, I really don't want to get into bum sex on this show. I didn't take it in this direction or take it at all, but it's anything's possible if you just believe, Carl. We were talking about envy and jealousy. You can live your dream. This is all a perception. These limitations are a perception. That's how
I just really want to know what Carl's credentials are, because that was a very sweeping statement around the ins and outs.
Yeah, exactly.
That he clearly doesn't have a full grasp of how it actually works, we're seeing the same thing of like expertise from someone who probably hasn't done it. And Carl, I love you.
No, unpick his theory.
Not that much, but I love you.
By the way, another thing that's come up as a theory when we talked about this intruder in Windsor Castle, it's interesting that so many people said, you could dress up as Prince Andrew. You just need to find like a really young like niece or whatever and take her in with you. And people go, oh, it's just Andrew. You walk around in a suit with a very, very young girl. People think it's the Queen's second eldest son.
Well, the balding that's been going on for 2 decades now is now at the point where I'm no longer going bald. I'm bald but have some hair. So I'm thinking I'm just getting it shorter and shorter and shorter until eventually I won't have any. But like if I get rid of all of it and cover my tattoos and fuck my teeth up on purpose, I might actually be able to pull this look off.
Right. So a quick comment, Gord, you don't have to worry about this, but apparently the brilliant Praveen Gordon, and we try not to do politics on a Friday, but this is unavoidable. Praveen Gordon, who's been one of our most useless ministers, he's been an absolute idiot from beginning to end. He's completely pulled into the communist way of thinking. And this guy says, guys, you don't have to worry about the state of disaster. I see we've already lost Gord. He's so bored with this subject. But don't worry about the state of disaster, he says. We can go all the way to stage 8 with Eskom before it completely falls apart. Did you know that? Do you know that we can go all the way to stage 8? I thought that the upper limit was like stage 5. I didn't think it went beyond that.
No, it's Well, of course it can go to stage eight, because then you have power for, I think, like 4 hours a day in intermittent stages. Jesus. But yeah, I mean, like Pravin Gordhan guy, he's a communist in popularity, but his share portfolio is very capitalist.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly
right. He does love a good share in a business that he knows nothing about, but he's been given it because he's, you know, previously disadvantaged.
And connected.
Technically.
Yeah.
There's probably a level of load shedding where they're able to, because of like, you know, some sort of tax consent or like, you know, the government are very ineffective unless it's you owe them money. And then suddenly they show, we can actually do stuff. We're just choosing not to. Like, we could have the get your money when you owe it to us people, do the like, provide anything you've voted and paid for, but it's better to have them there. So they'll find a way that when the load shedding is so bad that they're able to reabsorb your charged devices into the grid so they can run like a few government buildings and whichever private hospitals their kids go to. Because my whole thing is like,
it would actually,
you should only, while you're in government, you and your immediate family should only be allowed to use government schools and government hospitals as long as you're in government. So, you know, they're like, they'll take what electricity you've got for their children.
Hang on a second.
Can't possibly be without.
This is a brilliant theory. So you reckon that it could actually invert where Eskom is no longer providing electricity, but they're actually sucking it out of the things that you've charged.
I sent you a Telegram. I don't know, because I saw the only thing good about Telegram, aside from it being the only way my buddy Alan will, I'm on it because my buddy Alan won't let me, that's the only way he'll communicate. It drives me nuts. So I get messages from my good friend Alan and then notifications about who's joined Telegram. So if you guys want an app that updates you every day as to who's joined the app, Telegram's the winner. So I see Gareth has joined Telegram. Yeah. I'm out in London and I left a little video note in
So let me explain. I went on Telegram years ago. Remember when we were all told that WhatsApp was going to be evil?
Because the CIA gives such a fuck about all of us.
They were going to mine all of our information. So I downloaded Telegram.
Yeah,
and then some idiot sent me like this message and said, oh no, I don't use WhatsApp. I only use Telegram. So then I had to get back on it, but I'm going to delete it again, Gord.
Well,
so don't
I'm
send,
on it
please
for
don't
a
send,
friend like that who's,
don't
as, much as,
that
I love to, as much as I love to give him shit, he's a great guy and he's worth having Telegram. But I saw it last night while I was like out in Soho and I left you a video message and I was like, yerre man, kijk hierdie plek. Hoeveel elektriciteit het hulle? Hulle gooi dit weg in die see. They got so much electricity, they're just pumping it in the ocean and shocking the fish to get rid of it. I'm like, these dudes could like donate their leftover or expired electricity each month to us.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, like they've got so much that they're electrifying shit just to find a place to put it. I'm like, one square, you can power three South Africans and still charge an airplane.
Listen, you guys will love this story. I was talking to Anthony Miederer, who obviously does Blind History with me, and he was telling me about, he loves sharks, and he's done this whole series with us on sharks and conservation. Apparently what they used to do in like the 1920s, if there was a shark in a certain part of the sea and it was bothering people, and in fact the whole story of Jaws apparently comes from a story of this one shark that ate like three people and injured one. One of them got away, but the other three were eaten in a certain part of the east coast of.
Because when you lank full after three people, you can't actually swim fast enough to catch the fourth.
Correct.
I was like that when I used to chase down Uber delivery people. You get like two or three, and you try to tackle the fourth. You just don't
it's
have
too
the
much.
Agility.
You don't have the space. Anyway, so what they used to do when they were trying to get rid of these sharks, they would throw a depth charge into the sea. Now, I mean, that's what you used to blow up submarines. Okay, so in the 1920s, they just didn't give a shit. Don't ask me how, but ordinary people could get a depth charge and throw it into the sea and they would hit the bottom and just blow everything to fucking smithereens. And all the dead fish would then rise to the top and they'd hope to find the shark that was bothering people among all these dead fish that floated to the surface.
Well, dude, because not every vague memory I have of something is now scientific fact because I think it's probably right. I do have some sort of memory. It might be a TV show. It might have been something I read. But I read that like there's a way of fishing where like you throw a hand grenade into like a stream and
dynamite.
You just see which
dynamite.
Is that real or is that from like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon?
No,
because
this
I always thought like
people
brutal,
it.
But it's a good idea if you're starving. Like if you've got a little brook, you're not literally going to nuke an entire rainforest to get a fish. But if you like chuck a grenade into a brook and get behind a tree for the shrapnel and just see what floats up. I mean, there might be pieces of fish and not intact fish. But I mean, to get rid of a shark while it's at home chilling with its wife or husband and by bombing the entire neighborhood. Is this Americans doing this by any chance?
Yeah, it was Americans.
Sounds very, very Obama-ish, yeah. It's a very Obama tactic.
So blow up the whole sea because you want to get one shark out. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, I'm really sick now, of Ben, so I'm going to carpet bomb the province he's in.
But this is it. I mean, this is the way people used to think. There was no such thing as conservation in the 1920s. People just, you know, animals were just an unexhaustible, inexhaustible resource. You could just blow up the whole sea and whatever floated to the top, don't worry, there's some
survive. Whereas now they do worse, but the media give us Johnny Depp and Amber Heard to argue about. And exactly. And our way of helping the environment is posting memes about how people should do it. My favorite thing about like a fierce woman or like a true friend is that people say like, here's this meme. This is how I wish I lived. And now I'm holding you all accountable. Right. This is how people should do conservation. Get on it, you guys.
Right.
Plastic bottle.
Right.
Plastic bottle. You know, like it's the same. Right.
Okay,
it's
wait.
It's worse now.
We got to get to Borge. It is time for us to speak to George Meany, who joins
George
us.
George Meany?
Yes.
This is what, remember I was saying before about being able to choose being gay?
You see?
If George and I could. Like,
this is not how you start the segment, George.
George, I would hate you for being so attractive and successful if you weren't the nicest dude in the world.
Wow. Thanks, Gord. Hello, Ben.
Right, good to see you, bro.
Hey, George.
Here we are. It's a bunch of guys this Friday, and it's appropriate to talk about cars as well. So it's always good to see you, George, because it means that the weekend is finally upon us. What do you got for us on the agenda?
First thing is, you know, some people do odd experiments, I don't know why. Maybe they've just got too much money, but it does make us
what
laugh.
What kind of experiments? I mean, you've shown us some of these cars people build in their garages, and
exactly.
they turn a car into a boat, into a car. It's the weird amphibian stuff that they do. They're trying to make flying cars. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly what I'm talking about. So you get these crews that do things for the fun of it. And this crew at a place called Garage 54, they decided to do an experiment to see what would happen if all four wheels of a car came off all at the same time.
All right. So what happens?
They rigged it to do this?
It to do it, yes.
Okay.
So they took this car, this old clapped out car, sent it careering down a obviously deserted part of some road somewhere. It was vacuum pressurized. So the wheels were rigged to not have nuts and bolts in the vac so that they could make the wheels come off all at the same time. And the car came to a complete stop without any issues because all four wheels came off at the same time. So it just proved that if all four wheels of your car come off at the same time, you'll be okay. If one wheel comes off,
you're in big shit.
I was about to say, do they have to all exactly at the same time come off? Because yes. I mean, I'm not like being entirely full of shit. So you rig it so that it like releases all four at the same time. But if one kind of doesn't come off as easily as the others, you're going to do a 100-ton somersault. And if they all just... If they just hydraulically ping at the same time, the car's like, eh. So the key so what we need, instead of ejector seats, we need, when you're getting in an accident, the release all wheels button.
Yeah, correct. Release all wheels.
I'm pretty sure the car's going to come to a stop a lot quicker if all four wheels come off at the same time because you've got this thing bottoming out on the
This on the is floor. Like information that no one needs, but it's cool to have.
All right, very good.
Exactly. And then Gareth, this was a funny story. There was this couple, and this story surfaced on Reddit, which is just a funny story. It's called The Cab and the Grandma. So this person writes, "My husband and I were dressed to ready to go out for a lovely evening for dinner, having a break-in in the past, they put a nightlight on with an answering machine, and they decided to put the cat. They had a cat in the backyard.
Okay."
So when the cab driver arrived, I walked out the front door, and their little tabby cat ran in between their legs into the house again, and the cat wanted to go and chase the caged bird that they had. So the taxi driver was waiting, and And so so the husband went and chased the cat, and the wife went down to the cab driver and explained that the husband will be back momentarily, but just bidding goodnight to her mother.
This is a terrible story so far. I mean, I'm not excited by it. Anybody.
Expecting a punchline, and I'm like, is this going to be tragically horrific with a dead cat and a bereaved person? Let's hear the rest, George.
Hear the rest. Wait. Just bide your time. So anyway, say goodbye to her mother. The husband comes back, done and dusted, gets into the cab and says, honey, sorry it took so long, but this stupid bitch was hiding under the bed. I had to poke her ass with a coat hanger to get her to come out. She tried to take off, so I grabbed her by the neck. I then wrapped a blanket around her because she wanted to scratch me, and it worked. I hauled her fat ass down the stairs and threw her in the backyard. She better not shit in the vegetable garden. There was silence in the taxi.
And you're talking about the cat and not the old lady. Because what if someone just said that last? I'm like, no, okay. It's pretty straightforward story.
I like that. All right. Now, you redeemed yourself completely, George.
Although it does sound like an effective way to get rid of like an obstinate old person. Because old people get to a point, and I'm not saying old people should be mistreated. They need to be cared for. So when they're like not quite all there, sometimes they want to go and like, you know, fist fight the shower or punch through the glass wall, or you know, you have to be like, come on, no, it's all right. So they got to be ways where they start resisting things they need. Like if you've got to get your very old relative have to them, like the doctor for something important, and they're fighting and scratching because they're imagining like they're back in World War II now, you might do well to wrap them in a blanket, pick them up. Like, I'm not suggesting we do this, but you know what, Gord,
stop right there, because Gord, what you're talking about is a gross human rights violation. But okay,
no, I know that. That's why I'm saying I could visualize George talking about this as if it's real. It would just be a very, very inhumane way to deal with your elderly dependent.
Exactly.
Borge, any insights on when the Tesla Roadster SpaceX model will be released? Says Congo Chris.
The Tesla Roadster SpaceX model. No, not to my knowledge. Okay. I know a bit, but I don't know that.
All right.
This
all four wheels coming off thing is a great analogy for our times. Good to know we are going to be okay-ish.
Yeah, we're fine as long as all the wheels come off and quickly. If they come off slowly, it's a problem.
All right.
What is a SpaceX model Tesla? What's it supposed to be? It sounds awesome. Does it fly, or is it just branded to be cooler than the others?
Well, it's the first year of a SpaceX model Tesla, so I'm going to go research after this.
All right. Yeah, George always does, and then he messages me like later on in the show. He's like, oh, here's what it is, and then we throw it on the next week. So stand by. We'll have more for you next week. All right, George, but what else have you got?
So I didn't know that this animal existed called a javelina.
Jesus.
Which is a pig, I think.
I was about to say, that's a pig, bro.
Exactly. So this javelina... In Arizona, the boot of the Subaru was left open.
I've actually dated that exact one, but please continue. Name starts with a D, but I won't give any more away.
This Subaru's boot was left open, and this javelina decided that it was going to chase a packet of Cheetos. Now, Cheetos is a packet of chips in America. A packet of Cheetos. So it jumped into the car, and somehow the boot closed, and this javelina was stuck in the car. So in an attempt to get out of the car, the thing started panicking. Ripped half the dashboard apart, in the process, knocked the car into neutral. Car ran down the road a couple of blocks, knocked into something, and came to a stop. But apparently this guy's car was trashed inside from this pig.
A javelina.
So basically the pig essentially drove the car. One of Parallel Parking says it's pronounced javelina, but cool. Like I was imagining that the thing got in the boot and then closed the boot somehow, and then some ordinary person was driving home with their groceries, and then they went to get the groceries out the boot and open it, and a furry javelina jumps out angry and confused. Like, I put my bags in, I go do something, I can drive home, and I open, and a wild angry pig, like the one I used to date, jumps out and attacks your face. So it could have been worse. Like, the pig accidentally putting the car in neutral is bad, but it could be a lot worse having a pig accidentally in your car.
Exactly.
I'm just glad I know what a javelina is, and I know how to pronounce it too. You see, we wouldn't learn these things if we didn't do these Fridays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then last week, I don't know if you recall, Gareth, but Sven, I don't know if Sven is listening. He mentioned the C40 Volvo.
Yes, I remember that. And you had some additional information to give.
Yes, so the C40 Volvo does in fact exist in other countries in the world, but it does not exist in South Africa. Whether it's going to come here or not remains to be seen. But I thought I'd mention that Sven was in fact right. The C40 Volvo does exist. It just doesn't exist in South Africa.
First time you said that, I was like, "What is a C40 Volvo? Like, is that an ordinary O who evolves in the C40? Like." The C40 Volvo. Oh, you mean a car. I got you. So that's right. How ignorant about cars.
Let's wrap up this morning's fun. And it's been really cool to have Ben, Gord, and George in one show. So let's just wrap up this morning's fun by having a quick round the room quiz. Everybody, you get to choose somewhere on the scale what kind of a parent you think you are. Using the scale provided, how good are you at keeping your children at home? At the far end of zero, we have the McCanns, whose daughter Madeline McCann went missing, and they just never bothered to look for her after that. And then you've got, on the other side, someone who kept their children at home and really didn't allow them to leave at all, Joseph Fritzl. So I'd think the healthiest position is probably about a 5, right? Is that your estimation there too, gentlemen?
As I officially distance myself from this line of humor, I have no children and therefore I'm not on the scale. So, well, none that I'm aware of except for the one I'm fleeing from. But again, we don't know if it's mine or if she's actually even pregnant. But other than that one, I can't comment on this. So you
Ben,
guys talk
Ben,
about
where,
this.
Where,
and
are,
get canceled
where are you on the scale here, Ben?
I would rather go back to just Gord's globetrotting slash, like, so George, you weren't on the show earlier, obviously, but Gord, essentially what we believe, and this is all speculation currently, like most good things in the show.
Oh, it's Gord, all speculation, no matter what she told you.
Yeah. So Gord has left lovely Seapoints, a lovely apartment where he rollerblades and boxes shirtless, to now live in like small cubicles for the next 4 months. In various European cities. I think he's got someone up the duff and he's on the run. Because, I mean, he's in 4 months, he's staying in 5 different places, of which there were air quotes where he said, like, I'm going to Dublin, Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. he was literally just making up names, but he's on the run. Gordon, I wish you all the best, but, you know.
I'm in Blairgowrie, Ben, you got me.
I know. I've always believed you'd be a good dad, though, Gordon.
I think a bank robbery is going to surface.
George.
I mean, look, if any of them ever do track me down, I will try to be a good dad, Ben.
Of course he will be. I think you're ready. I mean, you're not like a Joseph Fritz already, but I think you're ready.
But he's, just by definition, he's a deadbeat dad if he's trying to avoid responsibility. So, Gord, not a great example for a Friday morning. Have an excellent day, gentlemen. It's great to have you all on. And, George, thank you for telling us about javelinas. I mean, who would have known? This is the stuff.
Watch out for javelinas in the boot, dudes. If you feel a rattly in the boot, open it sort of sideways so that it leaps out and not at. You know what I mean? Because javelinas are a real problem.
I'm going to ask if I can get javelina bacon this weekend somewhere. I reckon that's a niche. That will be delightful.
Right. Very good. Have an excellent weekend, everybody.
So
cheers.
Good to see you.
We
guys.
Will see you all on Monday, 6 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Bye, everybody. CliffCentral.com.